We begin the current daf of the site, the daf Yud. We begin the five lines down for the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues to discuss from the previous daf and the Mishnah, which had introduced the idea of Shimshin, because we were discussing this concept of Midah connected Midah, which is how a person acts. That's how the consequences in his life are exactly with that same measurement. And that was introduced because the site, as we find many parallels in that idea, which is what she had done incorrectly, was how she was then reprimanded and punished in that same fashion. And Shimshon was the same idea, which is that he strayed after his eyes, and therefore his eyes were gouged out. Now, relating to that concept, actually, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Shaftim that says, V'yikr Shimshon el Hashem v'yemer, that Shimshon called out to Hashem and he said, Hashem likim, Shem God, zachreinina v'chaskeinina achapam hazeh. Remember, please, and strengthen, please, just this one time, that I could take this revenge from one of my eyes, from the Philistines. That's because they poked out both of his eyes. They blinded him. So as Rashi says, that he wanted reward for one of the eyes that are poked out, which was in the taking of the revenge of the Philistim, and the other one, the reward of that Yisurim, of that inflicted pain that he had, of the other eye poked out, should stay for his reward for the world to come. Now, however, Amar Rav, Rav interprets this pasuk, and he says, Amar Shimshon lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Shimshon was saying in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that Ribbono Shel Olam, master of the world, Zachar li esrim, and the Gersois take out this word, b'shtayim, shana sheshafatati es Yisrael, remember the 20 years that I ruled and judged the Jewish people, v'lo yamarti le'echad mehem, I didn't tell one of the Jewish people, havar li makal mimakam makam, take my stick from one place to another place. I never used anyone's services, and I judged just righteously, which as the Marsha says, that this is related to the idea over here, because his eyes were poked out. He was trying to illustrate that it wasn't because of something wrong that he had done. Because if he had used other people's services and judged them, that would be on some level like Sheichad, which as the Pasuk says, Ki Hasheichad Ya'aver Pikrim, it blinds the eyes of the righteous. So he's saying that obviously was not the reason why, and therefore I deserve that I should get compensated for my eyes being poked out, and therefore let at least the reward of one of them be my revenge on the Philistines, on the Pelishtim. Now, other psukim in Shimshon, in Shaftim, like we're discussing of Shimshon, so it says, Vayelech Shimshon, that Shimshon went, Vayelochid Shalosh Meis Shualim, and he captured 300 foxen, and he then tied fires onto their tails, and that's how he burnt down some of the crops of the Pelishtim. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Shualim, why specifically did he use foxen? So Amrib Eva Bar Nagdi, Amrib Chir Bar Abbas, because Amar Shimshon, Shimshon said, Yavai Misha Chazur Lachayrov, let it be an animal that when it retreats walking backwards. And that is when someone's coming to capture a fox, it doesn't just turn around and run away. It actually backs up. So v'yifra m'plishtim shechazu b'shavuasan, and let that animal come and collect, meaning to punish the plishtim who also backed out of their oath, as we said in the top of this Amr, continuation of the previous daf, which was in the times of Shimshon, which was when they could then go ahead because there was an oath between Avshalom and between Avimelech and Avram Avinu that they won't fight each other, but the Pelishtim then backed out because they were doing harm to the Jewish people. So therefore, Shimshon was able to then go ahead and take revenge on them. And therefore, the way they backed out, use a fox that also backs out. Tanya Litna Braisa. Amrib Shimon Achas, Rib Shimon the Pious said, Ben Kisev Avshal Shimshon, between the shoulders of Shimshon, was Shishim Amahayu, was able to carry an area of 60 Amas. Shnema, like it says, a pasuk in Shaftim, it says, "Beyishkav Shimshon ad chatzia laila." It says that Shimshon laid until midnight, and by yakum chatzia laila, then by midnight he got up. Veyaches bedals the shar ha'ir, and then he grabbed onto the doors of the city gates, which is in reference to Aza and Gaza. Ubishtei amazuzis, and to the two doorposts. Vayisoyim im habrich, and he pulled them out. He carried them up with the crossbar. Veyosam haksevav, and he put it on his shoulder, meaning as the measurement was of his shoulder. Now, Ugmiri says the Gemara, and we had a tradition, that the gates of Aza weren't less than 60 amas. So we see that the distance that he was able to carry on his shoulders was an area of 60 amas. Now, another pasuk in Shaftim, again, these are discussing Shimshon, says, so they finally captured him, they put Shimshon into jail. So it says that he was grinding in jail. So Amr Yechon says, Ein techina ela loshna avera. The term of grinding connotes sin. V'cheinu Omer Sotu, it says a pasuk in Iyev, that it says, titchan li acher, that she grinds for another, Ishti, my wife, meaning a euphemism regarding having an immoral relationship. Malamed, what does that come to teach? What does it mean that Shimshon was grinding in prison? It comes to teach that every Philistine brought his wife to the prison, so that Shimshon, who was bringing out his seed, should do it in his wife, so that his wife should become impregnated by Shimshon, who was a great and strong person, and let their children have from that seed. Now, Amar Papa, Papa says, this is what people say, that you bring to a person what he's normally accustomed to, and that is Kami Deshasi Chamer Chamer, someone that usually drinks wine, you bring him wine. Kami Rafaika, in front of someone that works the land, he's a gardener and he's constantly planting, so he always eats vegetables. So Gridaya Duvla, so you bring him a basket full of vegetables, which Duvli is a type of a vegetable. And essentially that's the same thing over here, that Shimshon, as we said on the top of this Amid, who had his seed was like a gushing stream, so that was something that he was engaged with and that was a big part of his life, and therefore they brought all the wives so that he could engage in that act in prison. Now related to this pasuk that we just brought, the Gemara says, V'amr b'yechin, and says, Kol ha-mazana, any man that's not faithful in his marriage and is mazana with other women, so ishta mazana is a love, so his wife is also unfaithful then in the marriage. Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Eiv, says, Im nifta libi al isha, the pasuk says that if I'm seduced in my heart on a woman, and val pesach rei arafti, and that by the entryway of my friend, my neighbor's house, I lay in ambush, so it says in the next pasuk, which we just quoted, titchun la'achar ishti, that my wife then grinds for another man, v'olel yichron acherin, and that on her kneels other men, where if he's engaging in immorality, his wife is also going to. That's what people say. Ihu beikari, he is a large pumpkin. Ve'itz ibebutzini, and his wife is a small pumpkin. Meaning they're both from the same family of gourds. It's just that he's big and she's small. But essentially, whatever he's involved with, she's going to be doing the same thing, just on a smaller scale. Also, another statement from Va'amar B'yichnon, back on this topic of Shimshon. That Shimshon donis Yisrael kavim shebeshabayim. That Shimshon judged the Jewish people like their father in heaven, in the Hashem, Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Bereishis, says that Don Yodin Amoy, that the Shevet, the tribe of Don, judged his people, which is a reference to Shimshon who came from Shevet Don, which as that whole brach over there is talking about Shimshon, Ka'achad V'Gomer, which the simple translation of the pasuk is like it ends off, Ka'achad Shifti Yisrael, like the one of the tribes of the Jewish people. But the interpretation is Ka'achad, like the Yachid, the one that really is the whole world, which is a reference to Hashem, in the way that he judges with justice, that's how Shimshon also judged the Jewish people. Now another statement from Amar B'yechanan says Shimshon al Shemoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra. The root of the word Shimshon is based on the name of Hashem, because it says a pasuk in Tehillim, Ki Shemesh, which as Rashi translates, as we find the pasuk in Yeshayah like that, it's actually a term of not of the sun, but actually of a wall, umagin, and of a shield, was Hashem Elikim, is Hashem God. So we find that Shimshon is from the word Shemesh, which is from Hashem's name, which is that Hashem is a magin, and he's a Shemesh. Now, on that the Gemara asks, Lama'atu l'yimacha. So then if that's the case, as the Gemara understands right now, that it's actually part of Hashem's name, so Shimshon's name should not be allowed to be erased, just like another erase Hashem's name. On that the Gemara says, no, Lama'in Shemay Shalak Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's like the name of Hashem. In other words, the word Shemesh is not one of Hashem's names. It means to say like a name connotes the characteristic of someone or something, which is that Hashem is a shield and he saves the Jewish people. That's what Shimshon was also. Where Maha Kadosh Baruch Hu Megen HaKol Olam Kula, just like Hashem protects, it shields the whole world, Av Shimshon Magen B'Dor Al Yisrael. So to Shimshon protected the Jewish people in his generation when he was the ruler. Another statement from Omer B'Yechanan was Bilam chigur baragle achasaya. Bilam was lame in one of his feet. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Bamidbar. It says vayelech shefi, that he went slowly, which the word shaf is like we find elsewhere in Shas and Masechta Schulin, shaf miduchti, where it's out of its place, where that's what happens when a person is lame. Things are not exactly where they're supposed to be in his foot, so he's lame. Now Shimshon chigur b'shtei raglevaya. Shimshon was actually lame in both feet. Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Bereishis, Shvifun Ali Eirach, which again, that's the bracha by Sheva Dung, which is a reference to Shimshon, slithering along the ground like a snake, which it's like a double shefi, where Shvifun, to say that he was actually lame in both feet and like dragging his feet, so although he was very mighty, but however, he was lame in both feet. Now, Tarabanu Luna Braisa, continuing on this theme, Chamisha Nivru Me'in Dug Mishal Mala, there were five that were created on some level similar to what's the greatness from above. In other words, they were different than regular people in their splendor. And the Kulan Lakabahan, and actually all five of these people were actually, their downfall was in their point of greatness. Where actually, as Rashi points out, the Gemara only brings proofs of their downfall in these elements and doesn't even show, but obviously assumes that in those areas where, as we find, there are those who interpret that a person's downfall is, where their weakest point is actually, on some level, their greatest area. So we find this by these five people. Shimshon b'koyche, Shimshon in his might. Shaul b'tzavarai, by King Shaul, was by his neck. Whereas we find the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, says, v'yigba mekolo am yishichmai, that he was greater than the rest of people from his shoulder up, which, like they say, head and shoulders above everyone else, which is the reference of his neck. Avshalom b'sairoi, Avshalom was with his hair, which was the son of David HaMelech. Tzidkiah be'enav, the king Tzidkiah was in his eyes. And Asa b'raglav, and Asa, also king of Judah, was in his feet. As the Gemara explains, Shimshon b'koyche, we find, regarding the strength of Shimshon, where that was where he was laka, that's where his downfall was. The Chesubah, it says, the Pasuk in Shaftim, the Yasser koyche me'olav, that his strength was taken away from him. Shal b'tzavar, right, the Chesiv, and Shal regarding his neck, as we find the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, says, v'yikach Shal esacher v'yipar lo, that Shal took the sword and he fell on it, which as Rashi adds, that the place where a person usually gets killed with his sword, which is generally by the person's neck. Avshalom b'sairoi, his downfall was with his hair. Could be in lamem lekaman, like we'll explain later, that's where his greatest point was. He had this beautiful hair, and that's actually where he ended up getting killed. Tzidkiah be'enav d'chsev, but Tzidkiah was with his eyes, as it says in Pasuk Melachim Beis, says v'es eini Tzidkiyo, either that they blinded the eyes of Tzidkiah. Now again, as Rashi points out, as he did before, he says that we don't find where it was that he was so great in his eyes, that he was praised, and so to the next one with Asa by his feet, is just that that's what he had heard from his teachers, but what is being proved, which again follows along this theory, which is where the greatest point of a person can at times, can be the place which is manifesting of actually his greatest weakness and his downfall. So Asa b'raglav d'chsev, Asa was with his feet, his downfall, as we find in Malachim Aleph, it says, Rakl ezek nasa cholas raglav, it's just that when they got older, his feet became ill. Which Ba'amr Behuda Merav, he says, Shachazasai Padagra, which is that he had this illness called Padagra, which it attaches itself in the person's feet, which is known as gout. Now, Amli Ma'azutra Bereid Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, he says, Hechadomi Padagra, how does this manifest, this illness of Padagra? So Amalei, he says, it's Kamachad Bebasar Achai. It's like a needle in live flesh, which is very painful. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Mano Yoda, how did Rav Nachman say that that is the experiential component of this illness of Patagra? How does he know? So Igadami, that those that say because Mechash Abachashba, he actually suffered from this. Vigadami, that those that say Mirabi Shamali, he actually heard it from his teacher. Vigadami, that those that say, based on a pasig, which is Soid Hashem, is a pasig in Tehillim, Soid Hashem li Reyav, the secret of Hashem is to those who fear him, Uvarisa Loyadim, and is covenant to let it be known to them, which is that there are certain secrets of the world, which although generally have to be experienced to know, like what does chocolate taste like, there's no way of describing it, of knowing it, unless you experience it. Here also, although this is something that you would have to experience to know, Hashem gives that secret to those who fear him, and that's how Rav Nachman knew what the experience is like. Now, Darash Rava, he says, "B'mnei ma nenesh asa." Why is it that Asa was punished and that he became ill with this pedagra in his feet? It's b'mnei she'asa angari. It's because he gave the service of the king. He made people do the work. They become conscripted into his work, which he was the king, b'tamid ha-chacham, he worked with the Talmudic scholars, which they're supposed to be left just to learn Torah. Shemek, it says, a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, says, v'melech asa, he shmiya es kol Yehuda, that melech asa, he let it be known throughout Judea, which is that he gave this announcement to remove the stones of Ramah, which was from the Jewish king, which there was the Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, was split up into two parts, which was the 10 tribes, which was called the Yisrael, and then there was the two tribes, Binyamin and Yehuda, which was where Asa was king over. Now the Melech Yisrael had built around this city that people shouldn't be able to come in and out to go to Asa. So when that was over, he made an announcement that everyone should remove these stones. And he said that Einaki, no one is free, no one is clean from not doing this work, which obviously he was including in that work, also Talmudic scholars. Now the Gemara just says that my Einaki, what does it mean specifically that no one was Naki? Why that terminology? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, it was coming to include Afil Chosin Mechedrei Vekala Mechupasa. Even the groom from his room getting ready by the Chasna and the bride by Har Chuppah, where by them it says, regarding Shana Rishayna and Devarim Chav Tal, it says, Noki Yila Beisa, that for 1 year he should be clean for his house, meaning that he shouldn't be involved in anything else. So here he was saying that, Ein Noki, no, everyone's got to do this work, and that's why he was punished, because part of that was including the Tamid HaChacham. Now returning to what we were speaking about in the previous stuff, again we're discussing many different facets of the life of Shimshon HaGibor. Ksivit says, a pasuk in Shaiftim, V'yerid Shimshon Timnasa, that Shimshon went down to Timna. So obviously that we see that coming from Eretz Yisrael down to Timna is it's a decline. Yet Uchsib, but there's a pasuk in Bereishis that it was told to Tamar that Hinei Chamech Oyla Timnasa, behold, your father-in-law is coming to Timna. So obviously we see that that's an incline because Shimshon and Yehuda were both in Eretz Yisrael and now they're going to the land of the Pelishtim. So the question is it higher up or is it lower down? So Amir Balazi says that it's the same thing, but Shimshon Shenizganaba, Shimshon that it was embarrassing for him, in other words, because he went to marry one of the Philistine women, which is forbidden to him, so Ksibayi read that for him, it was called going down. Yehuda Shenizalaba, but Yehuda that became elevated through that event, where because he actually, through that, he gave birth to Peretz and Zerach, which ended up bringing out royalty and prophecy in the Jewish people. So therefore, regarding him, it says that it was an elevation. Second interpretation, Bishmul ban Nachmeni Amr, he says that actually shtei timnois hayut. Not a difficulty. There were actually two different places called Timna, chadu b'yirida v'chadu b'aliyah. One is a decline and one is an incline. Third answer, the Gemara says, Papa Amr, he says, no, chadu timna hava. It's actually one Timna, but it was in middle of an incline of a mountain. Now, the Asim HaGisa, whoever comes from one side, which if you're coming from the top of the mountain, so you read it, it's a decline going to that place. The Asim HaGisa, whoever's coming from the other side, meaning from the bottom of the mountain, which that's what Yehuda was coming from, that's an aliyah, that's an actual elevation. As the Gemara says, Kigrein Vardonia, or Beibari, or Veshuka the Nerish, the market of Nerish, where those are cities that are in middle of a mountain, so therefore, again, depending where you're coming from, it's either going to be going up or coming down. Now, continuing on this theme that we introduced with the contrast of Yehuda and Shimshon regarding going to Timna, so now the Gemara goes and segues into the discussion of the story with Yehuda and Tamar, where it says that Batesha Befesach Einayim, that, okay, so Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Yehuda, who had married his first two sons and they both died, and now Yehuda was avoiding giving his third and last son to Tamar, so here she was just widowing away and not being able to get children from the tribe of Yehuda. So what she did was she sat by the crossroads waiting to present as a harlot to be able to engage Yehuda and then have children from him. Now, Amar Alexandria, he says that, what does this mean that she was sitting by the Pesach, the opening of the eyes, which is usually translated as crossroads, but what does that mean? So he said, Malamed, it comes to teach, Shaholcha b'yashva la, that she went and she sat herself, b'fischei shel Avram Avinu, by the entryway of the tent of Avram Avinu, which was Malkim Shekolei Naim Tzayfis L'Roi. So that was a place where everyone's eyes always longed to see. And that's because that's a place where you were always to be able to come there and you were greeted nicely and you were able to have a place to eat and to sleep. And it was very endeared by people. So everyone was always looking forward to that. So where was she waiting for Yehuda? Was befestled by the opening of a Naim where people always look towards to. Reb Chanan Amar Rav, he says, no, it's Malkim Hu Sheshmoy Naim. It was by the entryway of the city called a Naim. So too we find in Pasuk Yeshua, the Tapuach Vo'enam, two places, we find there was a place called Enam. Shmuel ben Nachmeni, he gives a third interpretation. He says, Shenosna Einayim Lidvereho Kishatava. It means to say that she gave eyes, which just like eyes that you see and you understand things, she gave a type of an explanation, an opening for when he was when he was proposing to a proposition from Yehuda to Tamar, he wanted to engage her in cohabitation. So that's why it says Pesach Einayim, where the word Pesach, as we find in Masechet Nedarim, it's like a Pesach, an opening of permissibility, that she explained to him that, don't worry, there's no sin if you're going to engage me in cohabitation. That's what, that she gave an opening of Einayim, of eyes, to say, okay, this is okay. Whereas the Gemara explains that Amalah, that Yehuda said to Tamar, he didn't know that this was Tamar, he says, Shema Nachrasat, maybe you're a non-Jewish, I can't engage with cohabitation with such a woman. So Amalah, she said to him, no, don't worry, Giyaris Ani, I'm a convert. Which, although there was no Jewish people at that time, but it means to say that she was telling him that I'm not an idol worshiper, and therefore I'm fit for you. So he said, wait, Shema Isha Sishat, maybe you're a married woman. So Amalei Penuyani, she said, no, I'm a single woman, and therefore I'm permitted to everybody. So he said, Shema Kibel Boch Avach Kedushin, maybe your father, since you're a young girl, maybe your father, who has the rights, already received Kedushin for you, and you don't even know, maybe you really are a married woman. So Amalei Yisaymani, she said, no, I'm an orphan, so it can't be that my father has betrothed me. Moreover, as Rashi points out, this actually addresses another big problem, is that she was saying that I'm a minor, and even though I was married off, which was to actually Yehuda's two sons, but it obviously was my mother and my brothers that married me off. Now, that means to say that my marriage to your sons, which he doesn't know that he's talking with his daughter-in-law, was not a real marriage. Because, and therefore, there's no problem, halachic problem, of a father-in-law with a daughter-in-law, because the only one that has rights to marry off a minor girl is actually the father. As the Pasuk says in Devarim Chavez, Esbiti Nisati Lishazed, the father says, I gave my daughter over to these people. It's only rabbinically, which is allowed, but that didn't apply to Tamar. So therefore, she was actually addressing another point, which she didn't know, that she's not problematic to him as a daughter-in-law. Now, Rashi just points out, according to this logic that we're explaining, obviously, it's not like, as there are those who, in Bereishis Rabba, say that Tamar was the daughter of shame. So Rashi says, according to what we're saying here, it cannot be, because when Yaakov was 50 years old, shame had already passed away, and Yaakov, at this point, was already 110, so that's already a difference of 60 years, and if Tamar is still a minor, under 12, it obviously can't be that she's the daughter of shame. But she was saying, don't worry, it can't be, my father betrothed me because I'm an orphan. So he said, Shemit Me'at, maybe you're richly impure. So Amrlei, Tyran, she said, no, don't worry, I am pure, I am not menstruating, I am clean, there's nothing wrong, and that's why he says it's called B'Pesach Einayim, that she had given explanations and rationale about why he's permitted to engage her in cohabitation. Now, as we mentioned, incidentally, one of the interpretations said that it's called Pesach Einayim because it was by the entryway of Avraham Avinu's tent, which all the eyes looked forward for that Pesach. So the Gemara explains that, it says, Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva, that Avraham Avinu planted an Eshel in Be'er Sheva. So Amar Shlokesh, he says, Malamed, that teacher, Sha'asa Pardis, he made an orchard, V'nata Be'komini Megadim, and he planted all types of delicacies so that he can give pleasure for all the passerby, he wanted to be able to share with them. That's why it says, Vayita, he planted. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nechemya, they actually have a disagreement about this. Chadam Apardis, one says, yes, it was an orchard. V'chadam Apundik, one actually says that it was an inn, a place where guests could sleep. Now, that's the term of Eshel, which is actually an acronym for Achila, Shtia, and Levoya, which is that he would give them to eat, give them to drink, and then after they were done, he would then go ahead and escort them out. So the Gemara wonders. Bishlim Laman Da'om Apardis, we know that makes sense according to the one that says it was an orchard. That's what it says. They were planted. He planted an Eshel as a reference to an orchard. Elamanda Mapundik, my Vayita, according to one that says that it was a hotel. So how do you plant a building? Nothing more says Kitachsev, like it actually says a pasuk, Vayita a holy apadnoi begarmi, that he planted the tents of his mansions, etc., which that's a pasuk in Daniel, Toma, one of the kings. So we see that it actually does apply the terminology of planting for a building. And that's the reference of Vayita Eshel, that he actually made a hotel for all the passerbys. Now, the end of the pasuk that we mentioned before, Avraham Avinu, it says, V'yikr sham b'shem Hashem keil oylam, that he called out over there in the name of Hashem, the God of the world. Now, Amar Shlokesh, she says, Al tikri v'yikr, don't read it that Avraham Avinu called out, rather, as we continue on Talmud Beis, Ela v'yakri, rather, he taught the other people, for them, which is causative for others, for them to call out in the name of Hashem, who is the God of the world. Where Malamed that comes to teach, Shehikri Avram Avinu Lishmoy Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Avram Avinu made it a habit for people to call out in the name of Hashem, b'feh kol oivev v'shav in the mouth of all passerbys who came to his house. Now, Ketzer, how do you do this? Because la'achar she'achal v'shav, so after they finished eating and drinking from the food that he provided them, so amdu l'varchay. So they got up to bless Avraham Avinu for the food that he gave them. Now, however, he, Amar Lehem, he said to them, what do you mean? B'chim yishaleach haltem, you think you ate from my food, you want to give me thanks? Mishel alekei oil machaltem, it's from the God of the world that you ate. Give thanks, praise, and bless to the one that said, and the world came into being, it's not my food, it's Hashem. And that's how you introduce this concept of manfiism, of the God, and giving thanks by giving food to the people that pass by. Now, returning to what we had introduced of Yehuda and Tamar, again, because we contrasted Timna about going up or down with Shimshon and Yehuda. So the pasuk there says, V'yir'eha Yehuda. That Yehuda saw Tamar, and he thought that she was a harlot, because her face was covered. Now, the difficulty is, because the woman had her face covered, which is usually a sign of modesty, he thought she's a prostitute, which is exactly the opposite. So Amar Blasi says, no, because she had her face covered by her father-in-law's house, which she was very modest, and therefore, father-in-law never saw her when she was his daughter-in-law, and therefore he didn't recognize her, and that's why he thought that, okay, who's hanging out over here in the corner? Must be some Zaina, and he didn't know that it's really his daughter-in-law. Like we find in a different context, that the drasha says, "Kol kalashi tzenu beveis chameho," any daughter-in-law that's modest in her father-in-law's house, which is what she was, because she had her face covered when she was in daughter-in-law, so zeicha v'yitzim imena malachim nevim will merit to have kings and prophets come out from their progeny, from their children. Now, Menolim, who do we know this from? Mitamar, like we just described, that she was modest. And we find that Nevi'im prophets, Tzitzilik, it says, the pasuk in Yeshaya, it says, Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amitz, famous Chazon. Yeshayahu, the son of Amitz, saw this vision. Now, Malachim mi David, we know that kings came out from Tamar, from David, whereas the lineage goes through from Shevet Yehuda, which was from Yehuda and Tamar, came out David, who he was a king. Now, moreover, is because Va'amar B'Levi says, Davazem Mesoris B'Yadenim Avesena. This is a tradition that we have in our hands from our fathers, that Amitz, who he was the father of Yeshayahu, who that was a prophet, Va'amatzia, who he was a king in Judea, were Acham Hava, they were brothers. Now, Amatzia was from the children of David, who again, that comes from Tamar and Yehuda, and Amitz, his brother, was a prophet. So we see that not only did kings come out from Tamar and Yehuda, but also prophets came out, and that's again because of her modesty that she had in her father-in-law's house. And again, that's why the father-in-law didn't recognize her at this time and thought that, oh, she's a Zaina. Now, it says over there that when it was found out that she was pregnant because of what she had engaged with Yehuda, now Yehuda didn't know that. So it says that he mutzeh, she was being taken out to be killed because she was waiting for Yibam for the youngest child. She wasn't allowed to go out and engage other men. And therefore, she was being brought to her death. Now, he misutzeis mibayle. The Gemara asks that it actually should have said that she was being misutzeis, which would have sounded like that she's being taken out forcefully, where that's that was the more appropriate word. Actually, the word he mutzeis actually sounds like a lashon of mitziah, of being found. Now, well, how does that fit into the context over here of when she's being taken out to her death? So Amar Blazer Blazer explains, says La'achar shenimtzu simoneho, after that her signs were found, meaning that there were certain signs she was showing to Yehuda, which was his seal, his tunic, his staff. These are the three things that he had given to her as a guarantee he's going to pay her for the cohabitation that he had with her. Now, then he was actually never able to find her ever again. So she wanted to use that to prove that this was actually Yehuda who had engaged with her, and therefore she wasn't deserving of death because it was in the same family. So when she found these signs, Bos Samol, who was the Malach, the angel, the leader of the nation of Edom, came and Verichkon, he actually distanced them. He didn't want them to get to Yehuda because he wanted her to get burnt and that David HaMelech should not come out from her, who will end up hurting Edom in the valley of Melech. So therefore he wanted to distance it. So Bo Gavriel the Kivrin, so then Malach Gavriel, who sticks up for the Jewish people, came and made it closer, made it be brought. So again, that's why it says that he mutzeis, that it was found, when she found these signs, that's when this episode happened, where it was first distanced by the Malach of Edom, and then brought closer by Malach Gavriel. Heindich Siv, that's what it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, Lam Natseach, which is one of the terms for one of the Mizmorim, which is translated for the conductor, Al Yoinas Elam, regarding the silent dove, which the dove is always a reference to the Jewish people, that it was silent, Rechaikim, because of what was being distanced, which in this context is a reference to what happened with Tamar, that her siman, that she wanted to show Yehuda that it was really him and not some other man, was being distanced by the Malch Samoil, Lidovin Michtam. In other words, for the one who was fitting to have come out of her, David HaMelech, said at that time, she was silent. Now, Amir Birchan said, Mishosh Nisrachgu Samana, at the time when her sign suddenly got distanced, which was being done by this angel of Edom, Nasis Kiyani Lim, she became like a silent dove. She suddenly had nothing to say. She realized her end was near. Now, L'davin Michtam, when it says L'davin Michtam, what's L'davin Michtam? She Yatsim Men of David, they came out from Tamar. David, Shahaya, and Michtam is a contraction of two words, Shahaya Mach, that he was, literally means poor, meaning that he was humble, Vitam, and that he was complete in his ways, Lakoil to everybody. Or Davaachar, another interpretation is Michtam is, Shahisa Makosai Tamo, that his wound was whole, which means Shanili Kishumal, that he was born already circumcised, meaning the place of circumcision, which is usually gets a wound, meaning has to have the bris milah, was whole and complete because it didn't have to take off the arla because he was actually born already circumcised. Another interpretation in Michtam is Kishem Shebekat Nusai, just like when he was yet small, meaning before he became king. Hikden Atzma Eitzel Misha Godam Emenu Lulma Taira, he made himself small to learn Taira from someone that's greater than him. Sakach Begadlusa, so the same thing was when he was ready, became great, meaning after he became king, whereas Dabach fills in the words, so Hikden Atzma Eitzel Misha Godam and Lulma Taira, he still made himself small to learn Taira from someone that was greater than him, and that's the term of Michtam, which is that he was Tam, he was complete, in Makasai, in his Makkah, which the term meaning references, meaning his humility was not diminished from the beginning to the end. He never changed in his makkah, which is like a wound, meaning holding yourself low. He maintained that humility throughout his life. And then that's a reference, L'davin Michtam, again, to what happened with Tamar, that at that moment, when Samal took away the simanim, she became silent. Now, continuing in that chapter over there in with the Maisa with Yehuda and Tamar, it says, V'hishalcha el-chamoha leimah, that she sent this message to her father-in-law saying, Le'ish asher eila loy anoichi hara, to the man that these signs belong to, it's to him that I have become impregnated by. Now, she didn't send him the message, I am pregnant from you, and these are your signs. So what Shigemar asked, why? V'teima lei meimer, let her tell the messenger to tell him that it's from you that I became pregnant, and these are the signs, because these are your things. This is what you gave me when you had the cohabitation with me. So Amrav Zutra bar Tobio Amarav, Amrilan, some say it was Amrav Chana bar Bizna, Amrav Shimon Chasida, Amrilan, some say it was actually Amrav Yechanan Mishim, Amrav Shimon ben Yoichi, a famous phrase, Noich Leila Adam, it's more convenient for a person, it's more appropriate, Sheyapol Atzma L'Tachkiv Shana Eish, that they should have himself thrown into the fiery furnace, V'al Yabim Pnei Chavei Barabim, and should not embarrass to make a person's face white in public. I mean, Nolan, where do we know this from? It's me, Tamar, from Tamar, where the same thing was over here, that it was more preferable for her to get burnt for the death sentence, for having, so to speak, been mezam with someone else, and not have embarrassed Yehuda, and that's why she sent him this message and said, look, I'm going to say it in a cryptic way. If he gets the message, which he should, and he admits, so let him reveal it himself, and that's his own prerogative. If not, I'd rather get burnt and not reveal it and have him be embarrassed in front of everyone else. Now, she also told him, Haker no, please recognize these signs because you know that it was you, and don't let me get sent to my death. Now, Amar B'chama R'b'chanina, the words Haker no is that because B'haker Bistur La'aviv, with the words Haker, Yehuda let it be known to his father Yaakov something very painful, and therefore, Bahakir Bistru, therefore, a very difficult situation for him, was also told to him with the same words of Hakir. As the Gemara explains, Bahakir Bistru, with the words Hakir, he let it be known to his father that Yosef was killed, which he really wasn't. They were sold down, but they made believe that he was killed because they took his tunic and they dipped it in the goat's blood, And then they brought it to the father saying, Hakir no haksainis bintchehi? Do you recognize, is this the tunic of your son? Which was very painful for the father. And that Yehuda told his father. So Bahakir bisru. So he was told this thing of this embarrassing debacle where he was going to kill his daughter-in-law. And it turns out that it was really him. He was notified with the same words of Hakir no lami. She said, do you recognize who's this? These are? And it's you. Now she also used the word of Hakir no. Now, as the Gemara explains, Eino Ela'al Lashem Bakasha. The word Na is a term of beseeching, of entreating, which is please. Amar Le, what she was telling him was, Bevakasha Mimcha, I beg of you, Hakir Penei Baracha, recognize the face of your Creator. In other words, Val Talim Encha Mimeni, and don't turn a blind eye from me. You know that it's you, don't let me go to my death. Now, on that, the Pasuk said, Vayakir Yehuda, Yehuda recognized, the Yemeni said, Sadka Mimeni, she's right. It's from me. Now, Haini the Amr of Chanan Babizna Amr of Shem Chasida. He said, Yosef Shekida Shem Shemayim Basesa. Yosef was sanctified the name of Hashem in privacy, which was with his own private struggle with Eshes Potiphar, who's trying to seduce him in sin. So, Zacha Vayisifu Lo Yis Achas Mishmash Lakadosh Baruch Hu. So, he merited to have one of Hashem's four letters added onto his name. Let's say, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Edis Behoisev Shemayim. The testimony of Yosef is in his name, which is that the letter Hey was added on from the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. Now Yehuda Shekidah Shem Shemayim Befahesa, but Yehuda who sanctified Hashem's name in public, where he admitted to everybody, the whole court and whoever was there, he says, it was me, Zach of Nikur Kulei Al Shemayim Shekadosh Baruch Hu. He merited to have Hashem's entire name in his name, which if one looks at the name Yehuda, essentially it's the Yud, the Hey, and the Vav, and the Hey, just having the Dalet over there inserted, which is actually the letter 4, which are the four letters of Hashem's name. And that's because he was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim out in the public. Now, moreover, Kimen Shahayda V'Amr Tzadkim Emeni, since he admitted and he said that she's right, it was from me. So Yatzis Abaska V'Amr, so a heavenly voice came out and said, Ata Yitzalta Tamar Ushnei B'nei Amino, or you saved Tamar and her two sons, which were born. She was actually pregnant at the time. You saved them from the fire, because you admitted your guilt, which very easily would be so embarrassing, he wouldn't say anything. Chayecha, Hashem says, by your life, Shani Matzal B'Schuscha Gimel B'Menecha Menoyah, I'm going to save three of your sons from the fire too. Emaninu, who are those? That's the famous Hananiah, Mishael B'Azariah. They were saved from the fire furnace that they were thrown into. Now, the words Yehuda said was, Tzadka, she's right. Mimeni, that her impregnation is from me. Now, that the Gemara asks, Menoyah, how did he know that she was pregnant from him? You're right. He had an act of znos with her. But who knows, maybe she was a b'zayna and had many men have relations with her. Maybe she was pregnant from some other man. So that the Gemara answers, you're right. Yatza baska v'amr, actually it wasn't him who said this. A heavenly voice came out and said, mi meni. So to speak, Hashem was saying, when he said sadka, she's right, a heavenly voice came out and said, mi meni, this happened from me. Was yatzu kavushim, happened these concealed and mysterious things, which was Hashem says that I decreed that the kingship of the Jewish people should come out from Tamar. Now, it was not possible that that should not come out from the tribe of Yehuda, as the Pasuk says in Bereish Memtes, Kur Ar Yehuda. So royalty had to come out from Yehuda, and had to come out from Tamar, but the twine will never meet, so what Hashem had to do was he had to orchestrate this hidden and concealed situation, which as we find many times in Jewish history, and especially in the royalty, like we find by David HaMelech, that was said to be a mamzer, and so on, that Hashem has to orchestrate these things in secrecy, and Hashem was saying, you're right, this shouldn't have happened in what seemingly on the surface, but mimeni, it was from me that I orchestrated this. Now it says after that whole incident, it says, v'lo yosef oy ledata, which could be translated as that he then, after that incident, he never was yoda with her, which as we find, v'odim yoda eschav ishti, he was never more intimate with her. He didn't have relations with her anymore. However, Amr Shmuel Saba, Shmuel the elder, said, who was Chamud Rav Shmuel Barami, the father-in-law of Rav Shmuel Barami, he said, Mishmed Rav Shmuel Barami, he said this in the name of Rav Shmuel Barami, Kivan Shiyada, actually, that once he knew, in other words, that he found out that she was really a very righteous and pious woman, and her whole purpose of presenting as a Zaino was for the sake of heaven, so actually, Shuvloi Pasak Mimene, he didn't stop having relations with her. As we find, Ksiv Hach, it says over here the words of Lo Yosef Oy Ladata, he wasn't anymore Yosef to know her. Ksiv Hasim, it says the Pasuk in Devarim, Kel Godu Lo Yosef, that the voice of Hashem at Har Sinai was great, and Lo Yosef, which means to say, and it didn't stop, didn't cease. So when it says, well, Yosef Oiladat, it means he didn't stop from knowing her. He actually continued having relations because of the great righteousness that she really had. Now we return to our Mishnah that we were talking about again, this Midah Keneged Midah, which is how a person acts, that's how he gets punished. So it said, Avshalom Nisgoa B'Sayir V'Chulo, Avshalom, who was haughty with his hair, actually was, that was the cause of his downfall. As the Gemara explains with the Braisa, Tara Banu Lena Braisa, Avshalom B'Sayir Marid, Avshalom rebelled with his hair. Like it says, the Pasuk in Shmuel Bey, it says, Ucha Avshalom L'Hoyi Ish Yafav V'Gemer. Like Avshalom, there was no one as beautiful as him, etc. And it says, Ubagalcha Yisroishin, that when he would cut his hair, and that was V'Hoyi Miketz Yam L'Yam, that was an annual thing that he would do once a year, where Ashi Galach, that he would cut his hair, and the reason being was because he was called in Halacha Nazar Oilam, where he's a Nazar forever, where the Halacha is that you cut your hair once every 12 months. And the reason is, Ki Kavit Allah V'Gilchei, because the hair would get heavy after a while, and then he would cut it off. V'Shokal Es Sar Roishai, and he would weigh the hair of his head, was Masagim Shkolim Be'Evan HaMelech, was 200 shkolim with the stones of the king. In other words, Tana, as we learn the Braisa, what that means is it's the Evan, it's the rock, it's the weight. Sha'anshi Tveri of Anshi Tzipori Shaklamba, that the people of Tveri and Tzipori would weigh with, which is a very heavy weight. So it was a lot of hair. He really had a lot of body in that hair. So Lafikach Nitla Basari, since that was his, where he created this defense mechanism, his ego, his gaiva in the hair, so that's why he was hung from his hair. Like it says, the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says, "Vayikare Avshalom of Ne'abdei David." That Avshalom was called before the servants of David, and it says, "Avshalom Roichiv Al HaPered." That Avshalom was riding on the mule, "Vayave HaPered Tachas Soivecho El HaGedoyla." And then the mule came underneath the thick of a large elm tree, and the gear says, "Vayechazak Roishay Ba'ela." And then his head got stuck in the elm, and "Vayutun Beneshemayim Baretz." And he was placed, he was being held and suspended between heaven and earth. And v'haperet asher tachtav av, and the mule that was originally under him kept on passing, and he was still hanging from the tree. So as the Gemara explains, shokal sav sira, he tried taking his sword, and boy lemifsike, he wanted to detach himself so that he doesn't hang to his death, but tan de'Rabbi Shmuel was taught in the brisa of the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel that bo'is hasha, at that moment, nivka she'el mitachtav, the Gehenim opened up from beneath him and prevented him from saving himself by cutting himself and freeing himself from his hair that was stuck in the tree. Now, subsequently, the Pasuk says over there that Vayirgaz HaMelech, that the king, David, his father, trembled regarding the death of his son Avshalom, where, although he was trying to rebel and cause problems for his father, but it says Vayal Al Aliyas HaShar Vayevk, that his father went up to the upper gate and he cried, V'koyam HaBalecht, and this is what he was saying when he was walking. Said, B'ni Avshalom, my son Avshalom. B'ni Avshalom, my son Avshalom. Mi'itein Musi ani tachtecha. Who would give that I could die in your place? Avshalom, B'ni. Avshalom, my son. And it says afterwards, Pesukim later, it says, V'amelech lo'ad hasponav, that the king wrapped his face. V'yizek ha'melech kagodol, and the king screamed a loud voice. And he said again, B'ni Avshalom, my son Avshalom. Avshalom b'ni, Avshalom, my son. So the Gemara wonders, Hanik Tamanya b'ni lama, why does it say 8 times David HaMelech referenced and said the word my son? So that the Gemara explains, Shiva, 7 of the references, was to ask him if Shiva Madur Gehenim was, because he was bringing him up from the 7 levels of Gehenim. He had sunk so far down Gehenim, he was, every time he said my son, he brought him up from another level of Gehenim. Now ve'idach, the 8th time when he said b'ni, it could argue that those that say the car of Rachel Gabaguvi, that was to bring his head and connect to where his body was, because when he died, his head was detached very far from his body, and that 8th time was saying B'nai brought his head together to his body. And it could argue that those that say the Aisei La'alma Da'asei, the 8th time of saying B'nai, after his 7 times had taken him out of the 7 levels of Gehenim, was to bring him to the world to come.